Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
We're talking to my wife lately. The atrocities some of these guys are doing. And the atrocities, I prophesied it, you will see one day. You know, some people hear my prophecy and they are wondering if I saw something and I'm saying no. Do you know sometimes I just look at the word of God, look at your life and I prophesy? The word of God is the more sure word of prophecy. You can't miss it. As long as you're not living by God's word, we can tell what the end will be. We don't need a word of knowledge. Because while you're comparing your life with the written word of God, the knowledge, practical knowledge of God in the Bible. And that's why the Bible said the word of God is the number one realm of prophecy, the surest, clearest form of prophecy. Are you listening to me tonight? So I can look at somebody who doesn't agree to be a Christian, who is not living by godly principles, and tell you that, listen, the end is not what the end of a believer should be. Believe God to know, to understand that if he says, my blessings makes rich and add no sorrow, and gives you principles for the blessing, he is right. And anyone who seems like he's walking in the blessing is not. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Because this is why some Christians will ask us themselves, of what use is church if people outside church are becoming this successful? Firstly, you didn't come to church to become a successful person in the light of what they call success. I think while we're doing the talk show, one of the speakers said something that really got to me. That what many people call success is monetary success yet. But if you read the Bible said, I wish above all things that you may be in health and even as your word. You see that? Meaning, so prosperity is the definition of prosperity yet. Other things follow. And that's why Jesus said, what can a man offer in exchange of his soul? There is nothing in this world you offer in exchange of your soul. And as preachers, Hebrews 5, Paul affirms our job. In summary, he said, we are supposed to make sure we guard the way you think, your thinking. We don't allow wrong thoughts to get on your inside. Teaching, prayer, discipleship. Via these mediums. Because we'll give account for your souls. If you prosper on your inside, you prosper on the outside. Are you listening to me? Very important. But many people that don't understand this definition of success, this God's way of defining success, or God's definition of success, they'll be feeling tired. They'll feel disappointed on their part of, you know, serving God. I mean, I'm serving God, but look at that brother, look at that sister. We started together from secondary school, see where they are. You don't do that. You are a child of a covenant. That you are in the wilderness doesn't mean that you are losing. What is before you is what eyes have not seen. What ears have not. What has not entered the heart of what? You see how difficult it was for them to believe what God has prepared for them? Even themselves? I submit to you again, these guys are not idiots. If they could doubt what God has for them as God's covenant people, children of Abraham, do you think you will not doubt what God has for you? You seated here. I tell you, in fact, some of you are doubting sometimes. You're already doubting. It's in display. When God shows you what he has for you, you will doubt it. It will take special grace not to doubt it. Majority of the people doubted in the whole camp. Only two people, with Moses three, agreed. They are not idiots. They are human beings like you and I. And that's why Jesus said, what eyes have not, what ears have not, but has not entered the heart of, he has prepared for us that love him. They are doubting. God has said it in verse 1 and 2 of Numbers 13. Moses, the land I'm going to give you, send 12 people from every tribe, their leader, so go see the land. And here are leaders fumbling. Leaders don't have vision. They can't see from God's parameters. They can't see from God's perspective. They are doubting. Only two of them, I mean 12, agreed with Moses, agreed with God. And you can see how that every other person wanted to kill those two people. It happens like that even in the body of Christ. That when we begin to say certain things that the word of God has promised, some people will be even standing against you. Do you know faith for money is the same faith you need to overcome sin? That faith you are using to pursue money is the same faith you need to overcome sin. When the Bible tells you you are born of God and cannot sin, why are you not believing it? Why are you believing that the gold are mine? You see some people taking so much time explaining how that the child of God can make success, can prosper, you know, in financial prosperity. I mean, they can take so much time, but when it comes to we are new creations in Christ, there's a lot of doubt. No, we are all perfect. We can't be perfect. The same person saying the gold and mine is saying we can't be perfect. In the same body of Christ. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It happens. And that is why sometimes you see some people fighting, you know, fighting us. Why will you say somebody can be perfect? In the last 3 days of Zoe conference, I was telling my wife, I said for the first time in a long time, I felt so fulfilled teaching in Zoe conference because I said what I wanted to tell people. Like I said, I've really gone beyond impressing people with revelations. There are a lot of them. Now, you know, you may be hearing a second time or a third time some of the things I was saying. For some, they are hearing, majority were hearing for the first time. And it was coming again. It's not like some of these things are even things you've not heard before in a fresh way necessarily. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because they needed to be emphasized. Faith comes by what? Hearing the word. When you are a young preacher, immature, you'll be looking for revelations. You want to impress people. When you grow up, you truly want to say, because your body now and God's body are one. You have taken upon yourself His yoke and burden, and it is only in fulfilling His yoke and burden that you find true rest for your souls. We were joking when we were home. I said, imagine this way conference meeting, I was teaching on church administration and leadership in the third day as one of the core parts of the message, teaching on discipleship. And it seems like a joke. There are many young people who don't have a base. They don't know what they are doing. They are in this church today, in that church tomorrow. That's their papa tomorrow. Next tomorrow, the other one is their papa. God can never use you like that. You're unstable in all your ways and cannot receive what? Anything from God. You can't even tell pastors or know people they are discipling. And you are saying God wants to, they believe, those kind of people believe God wants to use them. How? Hallelujah to Jesus. Where were we? Go back to where we were. Are you here tonight? Where were we? Exodus 16 verse what? And Moses said, are we here all seven? Where? Okay, so and Moses said, let's start from verse 7. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us? Next part of scripture. And Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you have made against Him. And what are we Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 11. Give me verse 10. Just verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, next part of scripture. I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel speak to them, saying that you shall eat meat, and in the morning, and you shall know that. Look at how God is doing them like children. I would have shown you the scripture that said how that the Lord worked with them like babes, children. Now they've eaten. The next complaint is water. Exodus 17 from verse 1. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on a journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and came in what? But there was no water for the people to drink. Next part of scripture. Therefore, the people contended with what? They fought Moses face to face. Give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Next part of scripture. And the people tested there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, Why is it you have brought us out from Egypt to kill us and our children and your livestock with thirst? NKJV. But you understand what you are reading, isn't it? Some people have bad character, even in church, and they don't see the hand of God in their lives for several years. And instead of working on themselves, they face the man of God. They face the ministry. They think the ministry have a problem. They think the man, to prove to you the ministry doesn't have a problem, other people have come behind you and they are more successful than you. As long as your mindset wouldn't change, you will still be there. It took 40 years for your people and even more. And finally, they did not enter the promised land. You are in church. You still flirt with ladies hiddenly, even though you lead prayer or lead worship songs. You are in church as a lady. You still visit men, even though you are in a department, you are committed. You are in church, you do hypocritical stuff. Listen, finally, it is you that will be mocked, because God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. Are you listening to me tonight? What is not available for you, everything is available. The word of God, available. Discipleship programs, available. The only thing not available is your heart. You complain about everything. You are instructed to do this, you complain. You are instructed to do that, you complain. How do you enter into the promised land with that character? You cannot. Look at the children of Israel. God has interest in everything about your life, even the food he gives you. There's a way he wants provision he gives you. I mean, there's a way he wants you to use it. It's all part of the test. Let me tell you something. Beyond giving to church, the way you use money paints a wrong picture. If you are using money the wrong way, it paints a wrong picture before God. He will not give you money. Beyond giving in church. You know what I mean by that? You are giving your tithes. You are giving your partnership. You are giving your offerings. But you don't know how to use money. You use money anyhow. Do you know you are still disqualifying yourself? You may receive the blessings of the Lord. You may touch them. But if you don't know how to manage money in your life. In fact, I'm even struggling to say this because the Holy Spirit is telling me that nobody who gives this thing will not know how to use money. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. If you see somebody who gives their tithe, their partnership, their offerings, they truly know how to manage money. Because if you don't, I heard this from Miles Monroe years ago before he died. He said, the reason why God gave us principles for giving, tithing, offerings, and whatsoever giving, is so that he helps us to understand management. There was a point in his life, he started teaching on management. God wants us to understand management. Because if you can keep a particular amount of money to give to the Lord when it's time to give to the needy, when you need to, blah, 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 blah. That way, your mind is getting what? Capacitated. You know, to understand management. Hallelujah to Jesus. Verse 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. Next part of scripture. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Next part of scripture. Behold, I will stand before you there on a rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Next part of scripture. So he called the name of the place Massah, and because of the word of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Moses really said a lot of trouble. And this is where he had problem with his ministry. In Exodus 32, they created a golden calf. In Numbers 11, they complained against about adversity and food. Let's see. Numbers 11 verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. Let's see why they were weeping. Verse 8, next part of scripture. And when the consequences came, they started what? Crying. Look at verse 10 again. They started what? Crying. Hallelujah to Jesus. And their tears displeased the Lord. While they were crying, God was not emotional with them. He was mad at them, the Bible said. So don't think you can just do any rubbish and just be crying. Are you here? Next part of scripture, verse 11. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? You know, I don't know if people really believe that their burdens as a church, as a people, is on the man of God. I don't think people really understand that truth. They think the burden is on themselves, and the man of God has his burden. It's not true. When God gives you a people, their whole burden is on you. You know, the day I was not even planning, I was thinking I would not be able to preach. Nobody knew the state of myself, not even my wife knew. I hid it too. I just came to the office and sat down. I was not really myself. I already planned to sit down. I wanted to take an energy drink, but the Lord instructed me not to, so I decided not to take it. Well, I feel a lot of strength and better, but before now, I really was wondering if I should teach the word or not, because I felt so weak. I felt so tired. You know, I don't like talking problems, so I didn't confess it to my wife or anything. I just came to the office. I wanted to have some time. No even appetite to eat, no nothing. You know, and I was just wondering. And I was asking myself, if I stick to my assignment, maybe I would not be tired. But I'm trying to do everybody's work. I'm trying to carry everybody's responsibility. And sometimes when you are trying to even push people to be better, you get fed up. They don't want to be better. They don't wish themselves better. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They are not acting in a way that they can be better. And it's quite embarrassing for any leader. You are pushing somebody to be better, and the person is seeming to probably understand better, but he's still in the tent, he's still limited. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And you're just wondering what the people really want. Believe me, that's the condition of Moses here. And he said, Lord, next part of scripture, that's verse 12, right? Verse 12, it says, did I conceive all of these people? You see? Did I beget them? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries his nursing child. God even gave him an idea, he said, nursing child. That means they are really children. So the land which you swore to their fathers, see Moses removing himself, he said to their fathers, he doesn't want to feel among now. Next part of scripture, it says in verse 13, where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. Next part of scripture. I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. Next part of scripture. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see. That means somebody is praying and say, God, if I found favor in your sight, just kill me. You can imagine such a prayer. If I found favor in your sight, kill me. You know, in our generation, if I found favor in your sight, let me live. Let me live more years. But this one is saying, if I found favor in your sight, he said, kill me here and now. And do not let me to see my wretchedness. He believes he's very wretched. His life is useless. Because I tell you the truth, most people come to this point, most leaders, most pastors especially, you feel like you are living a wretched life. Like you are living for other people, you are not living for yourself. Because if you decide to live for yourself and not, don't send anybody, you truly will not have any problem. But you can't live for yourself because God has placed the burden of the people on you. Whether you like it or not, even if you make up your mind and say, I'm not going to do it again, you still find yourself wanting to do it. I was speaking to leaders, and I'll let it out, even though we're in the public now. I was saying it on Saturday morning? Yesterday, I think I was talking to pastors, in a meeting, online meeting. And I said to them, you all have elderly parents, and God bless them, God bless them, God bless them, real time. But listen carefully. Your destiny is not earthly, spiritual, although you fulfill it on the earth. Isn't it? How would you think your parents who truly, maybe some, maybe spiritual, I'm not trying to talk down any father or mother, who don't understand your spiritual destiny, will allow you to fulfill your spiritual destiny? Is that possible? It's not possible. Some of them don't understand, and we're being sincere. When I received the call of God on my life, my father had no clue. I still don't even think today he fully understands what I'm supposed to do. I think, was it a few months back, I was driving with him and he told me, he said, I know you can leave this country. What are you doing in this country? And I didn't answer him, and he kept quiet also. And I dropped him. I just drove. When he sees me driving, when he just sees me not entering the house, he knows I don't want to talk. I just drove away. He asked me the question. I'm like, you are still asking me this kind of question at this point in my life? I know you can leave this country. What are you doing in this country? Just tell me. Can't you go and start this thing out there? And leave this one. Your boys will be branching it. And I said, one of those days, I said, why? He said, not because of money. I said, it's because of money. Be sincere. It's money. It's nothing else than money. Even to this point, everybody's direction is money, 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 money. And if you pursue money, the Bible said you will end in nothing. If you pursue your destiny, you end in plenty money. Even though it doesn't seem like it's true, but it's true. Like I asked the question one of those days, I said, how many people pray an hour today? Maybe if I asked today, some of you would have prayed because you heard the question that day. Many people don't pray. But they are working very hard in whatever they are pursuing. Very hard. And they are not praying. thinking that God just wants to give them money beyond character. Staying with God builds your character. And your character is the capacity that qualifies you for a lot of material resources, material prosperity. If you don't have good character, God doesn't think you deserve money. He said, for the prosperity of a fool, what? Destroys him. Are you listening to me tonight? So I tell you the truth, whether you like it or not, I'm saying it. Most pastors have come to this point in their life. They have. Most sincere pastors, not every pastor. Because whether we like it or not, the only reason I'm in this town, sitting here every Tuesday, every Sunday, twice preaching, a few times coming here to talk, is not because I planned my life to be like this. And it's not because I really don't want to do it now. I really love what I'm doing, and I thank God. But because God ultimately wants me to do it. Are you all listening to me? He wants me to do it. My wife knows. My dad is always amazed. There is no appetite to leave this city to go to anywhere. Even to leave this city to visit, there's no single appetite. One of my worst things is to drive long distance. I don't like traveling. At some point, I was wondering if something is wrong with my heart. I was in Abuja. One of those first times, you know, I traveled from here to Abuja, even though I'd gone to Abuja from Kaduna. One of those first times I went there and stayed like a week, 3 days, thereabout. So I was telling my friend, I have to go. Very beautiful place. Very wonderful place in the heart of town. I was telling him, I have to leave this place. I'm tired for the place. He now sat me down and said, why are you tired? I said, I don't just like here. I'm not used to this kind of place. It's fine, but I don't like here. I feel at home in Makurdi. He said, hope. There's a way he said it, and I don't want to say it in vernacular. Something like, hope they know how tired you keep for that city. Look at everything here. What are you looking for that I've not given you in this house? Why are you still thinking of that place? Can't you just rest for 1 week? I say 1 week here. That was 2 days. I told him the next morning, in fact, I'm leaving. When that thing comes, just waybill it for me. He says, stay and collect it. I say, no, waybill it for me. Service was Sunday. I have the liberty to stay for more days, but I refused. And he was wondering if something was wrong with me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Is he traveling out that we can travel out like this? We'll be out of the country. It is not prayer request. Lord, help me to leave the country. I can leave anytime. I want to leave this country. Hallelujah to Jesus. But the Lord has subjected us here for your sakes. It's the truth. It's not pride. And that's what the Bible calls us, gifts to the church, the fivefold ministry. Why I'm preaching this is because a lot of times it is very difficult to pull human beings into their victory, into their destiny. They themselves don't want to enter into what God wants them to enter into. And I had to bring in this family factor because sometimes one of the reasons why you are contending with the part we're trying to push you into is because some of your family members may think they love you more than we love you. And we're not competing for who loves each other more. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But now, this is your divine destiny we're talking about. And the truth is that majority of them don't understand it. They don't know why the hell you are wasting your time here. When your mates are making all the money in diverse states, they think you are wasting your time here. In fact, some of them think you should have relocated from the state, firstly, and some of them think you should have relocated from the country. And if you have this slavery mindset, you align with whatever they are saying. The mind of a slave. You will go there and there's a pot of meat by the side and bread to the fool for you to eat. That doesn't stop you from being a slave. You are still a slave. It's amazing. I'm not saying that the sufferings in Nigeria is not enough reason for people to travel. But you all will agree with me that right now people are not traveling because people are traveling because they hate God. Many are traveling because they want to run away from the problem. Not necessarily problem. They call it sapa. Abi? Sapa. Meaning poverty. And the most thinking part of this conversation is when you see people joke with it on their status. Sakwa don't hold you. You don't see believers joking. Sakwa don't hold me. I get irritated when I see believers joke with poverty, weakness. I'm really stunned. Why are you joking with poverty? Joking with weakness? You see your mindset? Why do you think your jokes... You see, some people think jokes is not really part of them. Your jokes are part of you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart. Even if you don't create the jokes, if you like the jokes and post them thereof, it is because the joke is part of you. It's in your heart. I don't know that people get what I'm trying to say. It's the truth. When you watch a skit, a joke about sexual immorality, and you love it, it's exciting to you, it's because that's the kind of life you want. That's the kind of life you want. If you love movies, you have love problem. You love falling in love. Yesterday, one of our boys posted a video, a movie, and the lady was refusing to give her number. And she said, give me your number, rather. And she now said, you wouldn't want to know I'm interested in you. Very wonderful scene. Interesting. Reminds me of when I used to watch love movies very well. So he now said, please tell me the name of this movie on his status. And I messaged him. I said, you love. It's not the movie. He has been seeing many movies. You know why I love that movie? When he saw the way the thing, he think just sweet. He just imagined himself. Oh, maybe cash. I was like, ladies, oh my God. So you see, it ministers to you personally, because it's something you like. I can predict from that movie, he's a lover boy. It's the truth. If you see comedy skits about immorality and you love immorality. Do you know you are defined by the things you like even on Facebook? Huh? If you see your wife loving posts about divorce, you are about to be divorced. Now that there's a Chiki and Frank Udo's wife, right? Saga on the internet. You now see your wife liking the comment of the Frank Udo's wife. You see your wife not love it, you know you are finished. If your wife loves that, there's a cheeky in this family. That's what it means. A cheeky is by the corner. Are you all listening to me tonight? You're actually defined by what you like. Even on Facebook. That's why there's like button there. There's even love. There's even care. To help you express your heart. I told you a story years ago. One of my members sent me kisses, three kisses. 1, 2, 3, pew. And I said, for what? She said, no, I just love you, pastor. You're such a wonderful pastor. I said, you can tell me you love me without kiss. And I said, do you want to kiss me? She said, no. I said, it's a lie. For sending me kisses, there's a problem. Now delete the kisses before somebody sees these kisses. To me, I'm your pastor. Don't kiss me. She didn't come for the next service, but she came. She kept on coming to church. She kept on coming. How can you see all the emojis in this world and you send me kiss? I saw my younger sister years ago chatting with a young man. I know the boy, very small boy, those days in the back. Of course, she's a small girl too. And while they were chatting, the boy now sent her kisses, like three. She now put one smiling emoji. So I now say, they kiss you 3 times, you smile. I say, Pastor Simon, what is there now? I now call this now. I say, this boy kiss you. Think it's harmless kiss, because he says it's harmless kiss. I say, this boy. I think a few years later, I made a lady pregnant. I said, I now called her. I was the one that called her. I said, harmless kiss has made somebody pregnant. If you had received those harmless kiss, you probably would have been the one pregnant. All these emojis are ways for you to express yourself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Stop being hypocrite. If you are kissing people anyhow, or what's that? If you see people kissing you, they want to kiss you physically. I'm a scientist. I'm a computer scientist, so I know what I'm saying. Go and do the studies. Are you listening to me? And if you have that kind of bad character, you can't enter the promised land. They are chatting with girls and boys and throwing kisses anyhow. How can you enter the promised land? It's not for you. The promised land is not for kisser of women or men. It's for sons of God that will have one wife and one husband, isn't it? So you see Moses saying, kill me. Make the word work very easy for your pastor, for your leader. Make it very easy. You know, I was talking with my wife, I was sharing some visions, and truly they don't bother me. When I share visions, she will be the one trying to understand and explain how that is deep. I truly don't get bothered by them. The ones that interest me and are useful to me, I take them and I move. So it was about someone who left the church, and I think the person even started his own work. I don't talk about things like that, but I just say it as it, because I need to use it to teach. And then I saw the person running and looking troubled and crying and running towards me, you know. And as the person was running, I opened my hands to hug the person because I felt like something is wrong with the person. So I wanted to really hug the person before I, you know, we can talk about the other things later. But and when the person got close, he now turned into another kind of person and started trying to whip me with cane and with stick. So when he tried that, I would have not believed that vision until the next thing that happened. So I saw people trying to farm with cutlass and hoe just by the side of the road in the bush. So I told the man to give me his cutlass, and he gave me the cutlass. I did not cut him. You know that other part of the cutlass? I used it to slap him on the face and slap him on his back. And he ran away. So I woke up from the vision. I said, this is accurately my vision. If, for instance, they beat me, that's not the vision. For the fact that I told the man, can you borrow me your cutlass? And he borrowed. And I turned it and started flogging him back, and he ran away, paints a picture. And years ago I told her, you know, she's a very emotional person, even though she doesn't look emotional. Those days that she works more with her senses than with knowledge. So I told her years ago, I said, this person has the tendencies of a betrayer. Now we saw it since. I said, this is what I saw. We're in a meeting, and the person left us in the meeting like a black cat and came back to the meeting like a black cat. I was the only person that saw the person. So I told her, I saw this person manifesting as a black cat. You can imagine somebody is with you for many years and cannot replicate whatever God is doing here in his life. That he speaks that, and you get ashamed because people are mocking his expression. It doesn't really sound. Am I making sense to you? It sounds like you don't know what you are saying. And you feel bad as the preacher because somebody who has stayed this long should be sound. So I was like, what's the problem? Other people are sound. People have come behind are sound. Why is this person not sound? So I began to pray about it, and I saw the vision I saw, a black cat coming out. So I told her, I said, I don't know why I'm seeing this vision, but I think I have to excommunicate this person somehow. He's manifesting as a betrayer. A black cat coming amongst us, taking some secret. So I said, this person, there's a problem somewhere. She said, no, maybe it's because your heart don't already have a problem with the person. That is why you are seeing the vision. He's a nice person. The other day, he even greeted me. The other day, even. I said, you see, to be a prophet is very difficult. What you have seen, nobody will understand you. So I said, okay, it's okay. I didn't want to hear anything. I said, okay, keep on enjoying the relationship. No problem. Until the time happened and he manifested. So she was wondering, sister, I said, something is wrong somewhere. Something should be wrong somewhere. I said, what is it? She said, I don't know. But there's something wrong somewhere. Something, I said, what is wrong is what has already been there. I told you about it. She still said, something is wrong somewhere. Now, when I began to share the vision with her, with all the things she has seen over the years, you know, several visions were coming. That the person was going out to castigate me, you know, paint me black, even to family members. Some of her, he would just go and be looking for people and be sharing information, you know, and the rest. Several visions came like that. And she started getting to understand until I saw the vision lately. I said, people joke with this God. They think this God is just somebody like dies. He just play dice with God and goes scot-free. It's a lie. The Bible says, spare the rod and what? Spoil the child. You know what I understand by that? It may not necessarily mean like this. Although African parents seem like that. Let me tell you something. See, a lot of times, God will use pain to teach you a lot of things. If you don't receive consequences, it may not be unto death. He will allow consequences, but not unto death, so that you'll be wise. It's a godly sorrow leader toward repentance. If he allows it like that, you may never be wise. You have to understand that this wrong thing you are doing, there are consequences. And he may allow a measure of the consequences, not unto death, so that you can be wise. Are you listening to me? The pain does not change you. The pain pushes you to go back to your source of change. The prodigal son was hungry. He was in pain. He rushed back to his father. He was changed. It was the love of his father that changed him. It was the father that changed him. Not his pains, but the pains. God used the pain to what? Push him back to his father. So a lot of times God will allow some little consequences from your wrong decision so that you will be pushed back to the source of change, which is himself. Are you listening to me? You allow it. Glory to God forevermore. So look at all we read about the children of Israel. And the height of it, Moses getting frustrated real time. He said, Lord, kill me. This is how a lot of Christians behave. A lot of Christians. God said, this is what you ought to get. This is what I want to give you. Like I said, the children of Israel doubted themselves. They doubted themselves. I mean, God, you said this thing. Are you sure we'll get this? They listen to God's voice. They are doubting it. Doubting it. And I said that it is possible that God gives you a word and yourself are doubting it. And of course, God did not say it audibly to them. He said it through Moses. Just like he might have said through your pastor. That this is where you ought to be. This, and you see, when you see people reluctant a lot of times in one place, it's because they are not listening. There was a time I came up in this church and I boldly declared, everyone go and learn his key. They thought it was a man speaking. The one that learns, what is the difference? The margin is far. The margin is what? Very far. Very far. You can't compare yourself with them. I'm telling you, some people are still in square one. They are still trying to arrange, you know, gather their feet together. Nothing to show. When it comes to finances, nothing to show. But there was a time a clear instruction came. Everyone under the sound of my voice, go and learn this key. Learn this key. Because if God wants to bless you, he doesn't just do things haphazardly. He said, I'll bless the work of your hand. There is no work. How will the blessing come? If he wants to help you, what will he tell you? Go learn something. Go do something. Some did, some did not. Today we can see the clear difference. Look at the opportunities coming lately. This morning I shared one link to the tech group. It's something like Meko AI. I heard it was open to Nigerians. I mean, it's real. It's real. I wanted to test it. I did a domain interview, domain master interview in tech, interview in tech. So they asked me, I told them I just wanted to test it. I may not necessarily have the time to work, you know, a specialist in, I told them I was a specialist in machine learning. That's my specialty. So I answered their question, and it was AI. You answer rubbish, you have failed. And they are not even difficult questions. So why do you choose machine learning? Answer, why this about Python? Why? They'll just be asking you questions, very basic question. If you never prepared yourself, you can't pass that interview. Because when you are talking, anything you just talk, whether rubbish, will tell you thank you. So moving forward. Now that the opportunity has come, only those who prepared can what? Grab the opportunity. The money looks so good to be true. $200, $500, $600. The kind of opportunity is coming right now. You think it's going to end with UK? You know, some of us are hearing of outlier and the rest. I perceive it strongly. It will dash into Africa. It's the truth. It's not prophetic. It's so obvious. But it's only people who have prepared that will enjoy these opportunities. People who have prepared. Some of you don't want to leave your tent. You are complaining from your tent, like the children of Israel. Complaining from this smallness of your life. My salary is 50,000. Life is not there. This way is not there. Come out from your tent. Come out from your tent. Some people are angry with themselves and other people because of their poverty level. They are not happy. Not happy with anybody. Not happy with themselves. Not happy with people. They don't just like people. They don't even like especially successful people. They complain to any successful person is their enemy. How do you make progress in your life that way? Instead of getting ignited when you see successful people, you get downcasted. How do you make progress? Come out from your tent. Are you listening to me? Look at Caleb and Joshua. He said, let's go at once. It's ours. Did God say it's our year of the flight? Yes. We will fly. Now, there is no time of the year that I will have a single doubt, wondering if I will fly or not. Because if God has said it, I will not fear. And see, God does not ask you if you will consider whether what he has said is true or not before he says it to you. He just says it. But it's important that he sends spies. I will show you why. The Bible said, I will do what I've heard them what say. And how I see them what think. In other words, if your mind cannot assimilate, if your mind cannot contain this thing, you cannot receive it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why he sent the 12 tribes of Israel. But amidst the 12, how many people entered? Only Caleb and what? Joshua. There's a great delay, but those two people who believe, they saw the glory of the Lord. Is it Deuteronomy 1:39? Let me see it very fast. Deuteronomy 1:39. Very fast. Moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. See how wonderful God is. The heads limited everybody, but not to the finish. You know, they said that we are one of our children, you brought here to kill us. God said, you are the one that said for your children. Your children did not say it with their mouth. You will not see it, your children will see it. What am I trying to say? It doesn't matter the limitation at the top of your family. If you begin to think God's way, you will see the glory of God in your life. It's the truth. There's a man of God, Josiah in the Bible, whose great-grandfather was Manasseh. And I think Ammon was his father or something. I can't really remember. They worship idols. His great-grandfather would even carry an idol into the temple, remove God's arrangement, put the idol there. Such a terrible idol worshiper. His father too was like that. In fact, the Bible says his father was worse than his grandfather. But Josiah made up his mind when he read a part of the Bible, the Torah, and saw God's promised return of Israel. He made up his mind that it was not going to be the same. Even though he had wicked grandfather and father. The Bible says he went to the back of his house and took all the things from the temple, the demonic altars. The Bible says he himself started breaking them. He started scattering everything. That means he did not follow that pattern in his family. When he saw the word of God, he changed his mind and said, I'm not going to follow through this path. I'm going to follow the path of the word. He started something new with his lineage. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You can start something new with your generation. Make up your mind. I want to start something new in this family. I want to start something new in this lineage, in the name of Jesus. And if you must start something new, the database must be God's word. Your database must be God's word. Not any form of human advice from people who are victims, from people who you are about to help. I don't know why I'm emphasizing this thing this evening. But some of your limitation could be people very close to you. In the name of I love you so much, listen to me. Peter said, I love you so much, you will not die. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Are you listening to me? Because a lot of times, these people think that that's what is best. They took stones, for instance, to kill Jacob and, Caleb and Joshua. They took stones. They felt like these guys are mad for believing that they are stupid. Meanwhile, who said to them to go for that kind of unbelievable result? God Almighty. But they were not going to take it without a fight. They were not going to take that city, that land without a challenge. Meaning when you make up your mind and say, it's my year of flight, I'm going to fly. The first thing you may face is a troubling situation. A challenge. A serious challenge. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Serious one. Contention. But what is the source of your conviction? What will keep you standing to the finish? The word that the Lord has said to you. Caleb said, because the Lord has said it, let us go at once. Don't think about it. Let us go at once. Tell somebody, go at once. Stop thinking. Stop calculating. Start. Kickstart. Else we'll be like this forever. I'm telling you, the children of Israel, 40 years, you think it's a joke? And they still did not enter. Until another generation, God said, I'm not going to be wicked to them. They are not the one that offended me. I will start again with these ones who don't yet know the difference between good and evil. Sometimes I tell leaders, I said, don't be foolish, because there are a lot of people who do not yet know the difference between good and evil that the Lord will use if you are not serious. If you look at this thing now, what was Moses' offense? Did he do anything bad to deserve a congregation like that? Sometimes this thing can just be a situation, just some sort of a situation, unplanned situation. There was nothing bad that Moses did to deserve the kind of people he had. Amidst all of the congregation, only two people were thinking rightly. I was telling my wife, we'll talk about the ministry of Jesus. The best ministry that's ever hit the earth, yet there was a Judas. And Peter also betrayed him. Another one again was a doubter, Thomas. I mean, you are following Jesus for all these years and you never believe what you were saying. That when he resurrected, you say you don't believe. It is possible you have been in this church for years. You are not believing anything that is happening. You are just coming because you don't want people to say you stop coming. And I'm telling you, you may not be as lucky as Thomas, because I will not show you my hand. I show you my leg. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There were even consequences for Thomas. Jesus said, blessed is the one that what has not seen, yet he believed. Oh, yeah, see. Nothing for you. But blessed is the one who has not seen, but yet what? Believes. Believe because the Lord has said it. There were 12 of the disciples leaving the tomb. Leaving the tomb. Alright? They still did not believe. They were going to affirm. They doubting whether Jesus really resurrected. Jesus had to shout on them. Oh, fools, and what? Even Jesus had his own share from human beings. He said, fools and slow in heart to have not believed what the prophet said. Ought not the Savior ought to suffer and after the third day resurrect? So why are you doubting God's word, you that are seated here tonight? Learn from experience. Why are you doubting the word of God? I have no doubt. Because as long as you are wasting time, you are wasting your own time. He's God. He's settled. Nobody can dethrone him. You are the one that is not where you ought to be yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The earlier, the better for you. Submit yourself to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is not all this haphazard display. Have a walk with the Holy Ghost. Lord, what do you want me to do today? And if you truly have a walk with the Holy Spirit, you will not be disrespectful in the house of God. You'll be submitted to discipleship because he's the one leading you through discipleship too. This is what defines Christianity, not this haphazard display you are seeing online. Fine pictures and light. That's not what defines Christianity. Are you all listening to me tonight? One of the men of God, the people who did the talk show said, time is not going. Who is going? Time is not going anywhere. You keep on wasting time, you are wasting your life. Time waits for nobody. You can't tell time, wait, let me arrange my life. Time is moving. You have to step up your game. Are you listening to me tonight? Step it up. You don't have eternity, I always say, to fulfill destiny. Step up your game. Go back and settle in your heart that you follow the Holy Spirit. You may think the journey is so long to enter the promised land until you begin to walk with the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, sometimes he may paint the picture like it's very, very long. But anytime it seems like it is long, it is because you are not submitted fully to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. If you submit fully to the dealings of the Holy Spirit, it will not be 40 years. If you allow him to change your mind, it will never be 40 years. It will never be that long. It took so long because their minds were not changed. They were not ready to go through the path that leads to war. So that they fight every challenge and get into the promised land. Their mindsets were wrong. We read it the other day. Go through the seasons of your life. Get the skill. It will come with pressure. Pray in tongues. Have time to pray. You fly alone. You don't fly with everybody. Make up your mind to pray every day. You don't need any company. You have grown beyond that. You don't need to look for where people are praying. If you can find them, fine. If you cannot find them, pray alone. Wake up in the morning, see, tell yourself an hour at least. 2 hours. As the Lord lays it in your heart. Pray in the Spirit. Before you do anything. And see how your life will change. When you do it, you can start doing other things. You will see clarity. You see how everything will be sharp. Everything will be moving so smooth. And when it seems like there's challenges, there's no fear in your heart. Because you know you have commanded your money. You have commanded your day from the morning. You've arranged everything. You've prayed in the Spirit. I don't live with fear. No pride, but I don't live with fear. There is no challenge that comes to me that I cannot overcome. The Bible says it to me. There is no trouble in this world that I cannot overcome. I have no fear in me. I have no fear, no iota of fear on my inside. I don't get scared. Nobody born of a woman can make me scared. I'm not scared of situations. I'm not scared of anything in this world. Nothing moves me. Say, Pastor Simon, you have a child, you have a family. Are you sure things don't move you? Nothing moves me. My wife is here, she can tell you the practical example. One of the crises we had when she gave birth, I shared it here. They said the baby had, although she had been predicting from the first day, but we're thinking she was just being extra careful. Well, me, I didn't know anything about that. And my mother, her mom were saying everything was okay. So she had jaundice. When we now went the day she insisted because the eyes was really getting yellow. The doctor said, why did we not come the first time? This is really a serious case of jaundice after the test. It was too serious, blah, blah, blah. And of course, as a mom, she broke down into tears. And I stood looking at the man. He said everything he wanted to say. I appreciated him. He's a doctor. Thank God for his life. And when they kept her in that place, I looked at her. I said, nothing will happen to this child. He said, they are considering it. After 2 days, if the thing does not make progress, they'll do blood transfusion. They'll remove the entire blood. I said, where? Which blood? The blood you came with is the blood that it is for you. No other blood. You must have fresh blood. Not this blood of this your old mother or old father. It must be your blood. I made up my mind. Nobody is changing any blood in this. I respected the doctor, but I had my own mindset. When he excused us, when everybody was calm, I wanted nobody to see me. I entered the place where they kept her inside. I don't know what they call that thing. There's a place they kept her and put light on her. Incubator. I carried my child. Eh? What? Phototherapy machine. Sorry, incubators. I followed. Photo what? Phototherapy machine. So I carry her from the machine and I was looking at her. I was excited. I now have a baby. And I said, you devil of darkness, get out from this body. They call it jaundice. I call it devil. It's not pride. I knew that jaundice can't survive. I walked with her. I was trying to cover my voice so that people would not know I even entered there, because we're not supposed to enter. I smuggled myself inside. I held her. I walked for 30 minutes, close to an hour. When I saw that time had gone, I wanted to escape, so I was trying to keep her. I didn't know one of my in-laws was watching me. She had watched me and went back. She did not report. I prayed in tongues, and I kept her. I said, before I come back, my grandfather's burial, you'll be fine. You'll be perfect. When we came back the next day, as we're finishing, I was coming back. When we came back, the doctor was coming to check the level of the jaundice to know that they would do blood transfusion. As they checked, the lady doctor, because it was a man that started the whole testing and the rest, the lady doctor said, she said, is this really the baby? They say she has 63%, have you 73%? I said, yes. I said, no, this is unbelievable. I was there watching her. This is unbelievable. This is weird. How did this happen? I was watching. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered. I was just acting up innocent, looking at the lady with my hands always like this at my back. And she was just acting drama. This is unbelievable. What are you people doing in the hospital? In my heart, I said, yes, what are we doing here? You people should go home. You don't have a problem. My in-law, Auntie Badon, that woman is the kind of woman that will publicize Jesus' ministry more than anybody. She did not allow that matter to finish. She said, he's a man of God. I heard that. He's a pastor. He was praying for the baby. That's why the baby changed. Everything changed like that. I said, we don't go and glorify ourselves. God will always make sure somebody peeps and see what is happening, so that when we can give the testimony, when they were saying, I was just walking like I don't even know what they are saying. I was just pretending I'm moving. She said, he was praying. He's a prophet. The same pastor, she said, no, prophet. That's what he is. And his wife is a pastor. So how would it even happen? And she brought the news. They said, we can go, that everything is perfect. They say they are not sure the level remains. I said, there is nothing remaining. Nothing is remaining. No jaundice can jump in that body. No. Why? Because I am the father. It's not possible. Several times they'll say our body is hot, I'll just lay hands on our head. Recover. in Jesus' mighty name. That's all. She's recovered. A few times when she told me she was sick, she didn't know. I've been covering her for years. Tell her sometimes she doesn't really understand these things. I just speak in my room. I said, "Dad, body, be okay. And Lord, forgive her. Even though she will not come and pay homage, just leave your healing hand upon her. In Jesus' gracious name. I have no fear. No fear. No fear. God is too powerful. I have no fear. Are you listening to me? He's too powerful. I have no fear. I don't fear anything in this world. I don't fear lack. No, I don't. Have what we call holy impetus. I've told you before, come out from your tent. You belong to the million realm. Listen, forget where you grew up. You have no business with that lifestyle. You hail from heaven. Are you listening to me? You have no business. I'm telling you facts. You may see sons of Anarchs. I mean, you may see Tinubu. You don't have fear. Doesn't matter if he's your president. I say it's your time. Are you listening to me? You begin to seal a lot of gigs in the name of Jesus. It's your time. You know, you have to come to that realm. On your inside, you begin to see like Caleb saw. Let's go at once. It's called the spirit of faith. The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. You've read it. Go at once. Like Caleb. He said, let's go at once. Let's go at once. There's a way the word of God is doing me. I want to go at once. When you are done, go at once. Wait for nobody. Pray enough. I know the tech courses is not enough. Go and pray. Pray in tongues. So that tech courses will be useful to God. You are fortified physically. Remaining spiritual fortification. Now go and start praying one hour, two hours every day. You will see the wonders of our God. You will see the wonder. He doesn't think you are qualified because you just have a tech course. That you are finished. You have this. No. He wants to use you up there in that profession. And only prayer qualifies you. Only prayer qualifies you. Pray in the spirit and pray enough. Stay with the word. Pray in the spirit, pray enough. Stay with the word. Have no fear. Refuse to have any fear. Think big. Always be happy. Dress successful. Don't dress like somebody in lack. Don't dress like what is doing you. Dress like what you want to do. Don't see you and say, you suffer. No. No, I refuse to walk. I cannot suffer. It's not possible. I'm not suffering. I'm enjoying. And you give that impression everywhere. Don't give the impression that you're suffering. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I deserve the best things of life because I'm part of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I deserve the best things of life. I'm part of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I deserve the best things of life. I go for big things. You are looking for a job to up. They say $400 per hour. That's the one you hit. Say 20. 15. Mm-mm. They say $400. Enter the holy boldness. Time for interview. Arrange. That's why you're not getting the job. They want to do physical interview. You carry your scatter here. You did not bath. You did not brush your teeth. Nothing. Arrange yourself. Check yourself out. So that when they are even watching your videos, some of these interviewers, like Meko AI, when you are done, if AI finish asking you, they will save that video. They are watching you. When you are doing expo, they are looking at your eye. They know you are looking at something. When you do everything and you are done, they will now analyze your video for like 2 days, 3 days. Imagine they look at you, they check, they are looking at your video and it is spitting out excellence. The way you carve your hair, the way your collar arranged, the way you are speaking like a king. You are defining everything they are saying you should define with holy boldness and polished English. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Everybody will sing in one accord. Let's employ this one. It's our own. Don't go for things unprepared. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Be prepared. I always tell people, why do you want to cheat? Why do you want to cheat? You are writing an exam. Why do you want to cheat? You are faced with an interviewer. Why do you want to cheat? Focus. People already made up their mind that they will fail. That's why they want to cheat. If you cannot fail, why do you want to cheat? I cannot fail. I'm bold. Do everything that need. You know, for instance, now you put your hands like this. So that they will see that your two hands are what? Speaking boldly. Talking boldly. Why will you not be employed? Some of you will represent Nigeria very soon. You will represent Africa very soon. Work on yourself. I'm telling you the fact. You will represent this nation very soon. It starts now. Allow God control you, instruct you in everything you do. In everything you do. In everything you do. And like I always say, one major place people don't like God to instruct them is finances. See what he did to the children of Israel. Bread is coming down. Provision is coming down. He said, just carry and go. On the sixth day, I will do something. Carry and go. But of course, he told only Moses. He didn't tell all of them. Just carry and go. But they are not sure of tomorrow. They want to carry everything. In other words, when God gives you provision, he instructs you on what to do with that provision. And if you don't pass the test by doing what he wants you to do, you bring yourself lower. You bring yourself down. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? You can never walk in. Like, there's nothing like luck. It's a fairy tale. I know what I'm telling you. There's nothing like luck. If you trust, if you understand this God, you know that there's nothing like luck. There's nothing like luck. There's nothing like luck. In the name of Jesus. There's nothing like luck. Nothing like luck. I was talking with a friend. The Holy Spirit just said, just connect. I was feeling like, no. I don't think we can blend. The Holy Spirit said, connect. As we just connected, we started talking. Boom! He said, man of God, we've known over the years. I want to do a particular business with you. I just feel we should do it. I said, okay, no problem. And out of all the places he has verified, he said, if it comes through me, that's what will make it okay. This is not somebody we're really fluent with. We're really talking with on campus. Although we're cosmic. And that season, I needed money. And we just started talking. I'm home. I didn't even insist. We're just talking. He said, I've transferred the money. Anything you say, I agree. Anything you say, I believe. As simple as ABC. That's how everything finished. I kept on saying there's nothing like luck. No, there's no luck. No, there's no luck. I refuse to walk in luck. There's no luck in the name of Jesus. If you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, you pray in tongues, you'll find out there's nothing like luck. Just tomorrow, go outside and start doing evangelism. Forget your money problem. God will pay you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He will pay you. He said the laborer is worthy of his wages. Go and preach the gospel, he will pay you. Some of the money of us I get, I believe is God paying me for what I'm doing. He will pay you. Whatever your hand findeth, don't be coding more than you are doing your work in church. Don't be doing your work in your... What I mean is that as much time as you have to work for God, work for God. I've never told you to leave your places of work and come to this church. I've never said that. Have I done that before? But when you are done doing your work for your boss, where your business, when you come to God's house, give your best. Don't give less. Because if you do like that, you are painting a picture that your boss is greater than God. Well, we need to understand for your business. We understand. He's Lord of the Sabbath. But you must give God your best every time. Are you listening to me? Like I was saying during the workers' training, if you see people just misbehaving in church and they don't love God. If they love God, they will not misbehave like that. That's the only definition to it. He said, if you love me, you will keep my word. Commandment. as I'm talking to people in my heart, the least worry is money. Even for you guys, I don't feel like anybody here is in lack. It's not even crossing my mind. Even if you feel that Sakwa wants to kill you, I have no feeling like that in my heart. And if you have that feeling, you are a problem to yourself. I broke Sakwa. You can't be broke. Some people, you know, the children of Israel, they were so used to slavery that they didn't want salvation. So used to slavery. They didn't want salvation. Moses came the first time, they extended it by 30 years. Who made you a judge, a ruler over us? Another 30 years, he now came back. Sometimes you can be so used to failure, you don't want success. You can be so used to this, your current condition, you don't think there's something better than it. So you think there are people that don't collect 5 million in this country. I was shocked when they told me somebody collects 6 million. 6 million. As salary every month, 6 million. So how many head does the person have? Did they burn that person on the seventh day or something? Do you know God has these things for you? If you can trust Him. You just need to trust yourself. Some of you go back home. When you read your Bible and pray, follow whatever you have been pursuing. Follow it closely. You are all coding. You must not sit down together to code. Pay attention to some things. The Lord will lay something in your heart where He wants you to concentrate on. Concentrate there. And be doing it. Have a good routine. Every day, 3 hours. Follow that routine. Before you know, in 2 months, you are a master in that area. When you face any interviewer, you pass. Before you know, your level have changed financially. And that's just the beginning. You go online every day, you see they are looking for AI specialists in this, in that, in that. And it's over 2 months, you are still seeing those job descriptions. Doesn't it paint a picture in your head that you should go and learn something around them? You look at it. Five places have seen this particular job. Obviously, they are looking for people there. You know, I say, okay, maybe because I read social science, that's what I must practice. Oga, where did you see job description for social science? So, I'm looking for a social scientist or a political scientist. Remote job, political science, first class. Have you seen it? You are waiting for Tinubu to give you rep, House of Rep. What do you do as a wise person? Somebody asked me in the UK. UK, oh, the person is suffering in UK. And asked me a question. Sir, we barely have time for ourselves. Blah, 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 blah. I work from morning to 8 p.m. Abi? Is it 8 or 7 p.m.? Thereabouts. Morning, when she gets home, is around 7, 8 p.m. And when she just gets home, she just jump on the bed and sleep till the next day and go and work again. Can't do anything. Break 1 hour by 12. Sir, I'm tired of the physical job and I pay transport every day. So what I'm left with at the end, and I say, wait, oh. You don't do tech. She says, sir, I don't know how to even start it. There's one guy. Does not go anywhere. We'll just come back. We'll just come out and stretch more and go back inside the room and continue. And he's the richest in this neighborhood. And they say he's doing tech. So is that how the thing is? I said, that's how it is. She now said, which one do I learn? I said, I can't tell. But give me some minutes. And I went to Naira Land. I said, if you live in UK, what are the best tech skills to learn? See, it's not learn this and learn that. Mm-mm. If you live in this country, what are the best tech skills to learn? When they told me, I just sent it to her. I said, go and learn these ones. For your country now, these are the problems you solve the most. With this, just learn this. Simple and short. You can't just come and say, I want to learn everything. I want to do everything. In your country, what is moving? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Samaria to what? Judea to the uttermost part of the earth. Very practical. You are doing business. You see that business is moving in another branch of this, your business. Enter into it. See, a husband say, I move. When God says stop, I stop. ears are keep on moving when it's good. In other words, when he sees something that he's supposed to do, he will just start moving. When God says stop, he will just turn and come back. But if God does not tell him stop, he knows he's supposed to do it. People of God, make up your mind to change. Sometimes to say the truth is very difficult, but we have to say it. You see me sometimes hitting these teachers in church, especially teachers. It's because you can be comfortable in smallness and think you are big. You have already arranged your life around 100K, 50K. If you come now, buy, carry 10,000. In case, because if you buy Semona, what will you soak if your gas finish? So you buy carry 10,000. The worst of them all is when children become their friends in the school. So when they just enter, uncle. It's not like it's a bad thing that children love you, but it's the way this love start entering your head that we know that this love is unto death. You will not leave that school. I saw one video, student went to the bank to celebrate their ex-teacher. I said, good. They followed their ex-teacher to the bank and did happy birthday. The teacher from the bank celebrated them, but she's not going back to the school. Here they say, why are you not leaving the job? Say, it's a bond. I have a bond with these my children. You have a bond. Liga Bahai. Bondi Kabando Bodinda. Bondage. Wake up. Are you listening to me? Some headmasters, proprietors, wicked people. 6 subjects, 20,000. 5 classes. They don't care about the student. Because if you truly care about the student, you cannot tell one person to do 6 subjects for 5 classes. They don't care about your mental health. They don't care about your health. They are wicked people. Somebody said, so what will we do if we don't teach? Who will teach? Bros, if you leave. Sorry, I say bros. People of God, if you leave, they will have sense and do what is right. Are you listening to me? If you leave, they know what to do. But if you want to change, you can change the school. The best way to even change it for that kind of wicked system is to leave. Like Ronaldo said. He said, I want to make the first sacrifice to help Manchester United. I will leave first. I'll let out their problem first. He's scattered everywhere. They tear all his picture from the stadium. They scattered everything. He said, no problem. I will make the first sacrifice. I think they have put it back now. They scattered everything because of one guy they call Ten Hag. Do you remember that name? I think some of you don't even know the name I'm talking about. He coached Man U for a season. Was it up to a season? And they sacked him. Mourinho warned him. He said, when you leave, people will forget you, but they will not forget Ronaldo. What am I trying to say? See that Ronaldo has entered preaching several. What am I trying to say? In other words, be the first to make the sacrifice. You want to change your family? Be the first to make the sacrifice. It will be like you are spoiling something. No, you are arranging something. The Lord showed me something recently. That's why I'm making up my mind to tell you. You see, I don't want to say it in a way that maybe you may try to figure it out. But if you want to change something, you must be the first to make the sacrifice. And I tell you, a lot of times you'll be misunderstood. Except you don't know what you are doing. If you know what you are doing, the Bible says, if you lose family for my sake in this world, you will gain them 1,000 times in still what? This same world. That simply means at the beginning, they may not understand your decision. They may think you are being mad. But they will still be happy with you in this same world. We are proud you did not follow what we are saying. Because if you followed it, you will not be where you are today. Are you listening to me? We love our parents. I love your parents. Love your siblings. But understand that this is your spiritual destiny. They probably don't have a clue of it. Are you listening to me tonight? Make up your mind to fulfill destiny. Say, Lord, I fulfill destiny. Make up your heart. If there's something you are struggling with, it's time to leave. If there's a wrong character you are struggling with, it's time to leave. I don't want to die in the wilderness. I don't want to die in the place of making. Even though I can find manna and water, when I complain, it doesn't mean that I'm in the right place. It doesn't mean that God is pleased with me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, it's time to leave the wilderness. I'm ready for you to work on my mindset. I'm ready for my mindset to be changed. Because it's time to leave the wilderness. And even if I'm ready to, even if I face any war, I will not back off. Remember, the right mindset will give God, will allow God to give you the opportunity to face the war. Face it now. Could it be that you are facing it now because you have a good mindset? Because it's time to puncture into glory. It's time to puncture into glory. I say it's time to puncture into glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's time to puncture into glory. I refuse to fear. I am not suffering. Everything will make sense now. We're going to say it together. I want to go. Everything will begin to make sense now. Because it's working together for my good. You were going through tough seasons, but you didn't stop praying in tongues. It's working together. It's working together. Paul said, because of the abundance of light given to me, the enemy put a thorn on my flesh. Light brings the thorns. Light brings the thorns. Light brings the thorns. Tribulation and trials came because of the word. You are this important to God. Though. I was telling pastors yesterday, I said, some of you don't think you rate yourself so high. God, why me? Why not you? Didn't you read the Bible? It said because of the word. Tribulations and trials arose. They came because of the word. Because of the word. Because of the word. Because of the word. Why am I going through this? And you are crying, you are crying, you are crying, crying. You know, I was telling leaders. And some people say, but sir, you don't understand. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? You want us to be telling you our problems? Do you know why God has put me here as your pastor? Because there will be a time you go through this and I will tell you that's nothing, brother. That's nothing. A lady was telling me, I told you the story years ago. Abused by an uncle years ago. Then she were talking. She said, sir, that is why I have some unnecessary sexual urge and I can't forgive my uncle. To cut a long story, he's dead. And I said to her, your uncle is dead and probably in heaven. She now opened her eye. I said, I'm not saying what he did took him to heaven. What if he repented and is in heaven right now? I said, and you here are allowing Satan to useless your life? I said, that has happened now. Go past it. Forget about it. So stop saying I hate men. Stop saying this. Stop saying, forget about it. I told her, push forward. Don't allow that thing that happens to stop your destiny. You have a great destiny in God. I pushed that thing. She truly pushed forward. She forgot about it. She's making huge time progress with her life. It doesn't matter what has happened. Move forward. Dust yourself. Move forward. It's time to move forward. It will make sense at the end. It will now make sense. It's time for it to start making sense. Pray in tongues very well. And he that knows basic things, it's in the Bible. He that knows the heart of the Father, he that knows the will of the Father, will make intercession for us according to the will of the Father. And we know that all things work together for good. All things, all the bad and good things. All the bad. Immediately the word came forth, Satan came. Immediately, you thought this was going to be your best year. You thought this was going to happen to you. You thought you were in the breakthrough. Satan came because of the word. And now you are doubting the word. That's what he wanted. You doubted it. But no, I refuse to doubt the word. I've dug the ground and my life is on the rock. And no matter what happens, the Bible told us the wind may blow, the rain may blow, beats us vehemently. But because we are planted on the rock, we are standing on the rock, we will not be moved. So I don't expect myself to be moved in this situation. In this season of my life, in this season of trial, I refuse to be moved. I'm immovable as a rock. Carry that consciousness of you in any situation. I am they that trust upon the Lord shall be what? Mount Zion that can never be shaken. I refuse to be shaken. In the name of Jesus, for my time has come. In the name of Jesus, I'll heal the sick. I'll raise the dead. I'll cleanse the lepers. I'll win souls. I'll fulfill the kingdom. With all the resources I need. With all the resources I need. In the name of Jesus. Now the resources are coming to me. In great measure. In great measure. I am seeing ideas. I know what to do. I know what next move to take. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I enter into the millions. I enter into big things. I enter into big things. I receive big things. I deserve big things. I deserve the best things. In the name of Jesus, I'm receiving these things for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, to have a beautiful life. In the name of Jesus, the gold are mine. The silver are mine. The castles on a thousand hills, they belong to me. In the name of Jesus, now it will start making sense. It is making sense. It is making sense. I am receiving all that I need. All that I need. I am seeing it. It's working in my life. In the name of Jesus, I can feel it. I can touch it. In the name of Jesus, it is here. In the name of Jesus, it is here. In the name of Jesus, it is here. In the name of Jesus, the opportunities are here. Everything is here. Everything I need for life, for godliness, is here. It's here. It's here. I hear the sound of abundance, of rain. It's here. It's here. In the name of Jesus, it's here. It's raining glory. It's raining glory. It's here. It's here. It is here. I will never know no shame. I will never. Even my past mistakes, the Lord has repaired. He has arranged for my good. In the name of Jesus. Oh, be still and know that I am God. Woo. That I am God. That I am God. That I am God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now it's making sense in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I refuse to fear. No, I will not fear. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus. Oh, the Lord is my rock and salvation. Thank you, Holy Ghost. At once I go and take my possession. At once, as I leave this service, I go at once. I go into execution at once. I go into applying at once. I go into designing. I go at once. This is not my place. I leave this tent. I leave this tent now in the name of Jesus. I don't care what my head, who I've gone to spy, I've seen about life. I refuse to follow that trend. I'm beginning a new generation of glory in my lineage. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I will not accept fear. I refuse to accept fear. I refuse to accept defeat. I refuse to accept smallness. I am different. I will pay the price to be different. Oh, I'm destroying the old beliefs. It may cost me some pain yet, but I'm destroying the old beliefs. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you because we'll begin to submit our lives, or we have submitted our lives to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You will lead us, you will guide us through every decision and affirm our growth. For promotion does not come from the north, east, west, and south, for it comes from above. We walk with you until the redemption of the purchased possession. In Jesus' gracious name, we pray. Let's celebrate the Lord as we sit down.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.